Hallelujah. Okay. Well, this morning I want to get right in the Word, because how many of you sense the church is in a season of great reset? What does that mean? It means that, you know, you can be saved 20 years, 30 years, 15 years, whatever it is, and you get to a place in your life where you actually start doing things out of habit instead of a relationship. And I really feel the church is in this place where we've actually got to go and do some self-examination, a self-assessment, say, God, am I still in love with you? Have I lost my first love? You know, am I just doing things out of a ritual and out of a habit? Am I really locked into that relationship with the Lord? I think many times we have to just reset some things in our lives. And in my life, I've had to calibrate that over and over and make sure that I'm really running out my assignment for the Lord, because sometimes we can get in such a habit that is no longer just born out of relationship. We're just doing this because we have to do it. And I really believe that the church is in a season where we've got to really live out of this place of authenticity. And so I put a message together, and the message is called, It's Time to Check Our Lamps. It's time to check our lamps. And I really feel that, you know, we're in a season where everything we do or experience must be measured by results. You know, in my own life, you know, as I travel, you know, I'm leaving legacy, I'm building into people's lives, we're equipping leaders, we're raising leaders up, we're sending leaders, we're planting churches. But I have to check many times if I'm just doing it because I know how to do it well, or am I doing it because I really want to see the kingdom of God established on the earth. And so we're in this season, and so we've got to learn how to steward God's anointing. We've got to learn how to steward His presence well. Because the Bible says where two or three are gathered, He's right in the midst of us. And sometimes we can miss the moment in that Jesus is actually in the midst of us because we're so busy with everything else. And we miss these moments, these amazing spiritual moments where something could have actually been imparted if we weren't distracted. And so, I want to just say this. It's not always the outward form, but it's really what you carry. Who do you carry? You know, sometimes we forget who we carry. You know, I think of little Mary when she went out and she met the angel. And I mean, she was just a young woman, I think 13 years old. Young. And she had an encounter with an angel. Can you imagine your daughter coming home and you saying to her, well, what happened? Where did you go? And she said, well, I'm carrying God. The moral of the story was, don't send your kid out to feed the chickens. Because she went out there, I don't know what she was doing, but she came back. Think about this. She was clothed in God's glory. She was chosen as a virgin to carry Jesus. That to me is amazing. It's an amazing story. And so I want us to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But before we go there, I just want to pray. Father, this morning, I pray that this message will land in the hearts of your people. God, that you would stir them up, that you would give them the faith and the vision and the expectation to embrace what they carry, Lord, in such a way that the nations, the peoples, the cities would recognize, God, that they called out, they separated, God, and they carrying the light of the kingdom in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I want to just read a verse that has really meant so much to me in my life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. See, the vessel is not the focus. The vessel is not the focus. It's amazing how we put our focus on man and we don't focus on the kingdom. We don't focus on what people carry. And so the treasure is the presence on the inside of you. There's a divine flow. There has to be a divine flow that can only be sourced through the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you today to recognize in your life, in this moment of your life, that you're actually carrying the kingdom. You're carrying God. You're carrying the Holy Spirit. You're carrying the promises of God. You have a covenantal relationship with the kingdom. You are carriers of the kingdom. Don't ever allow the enemy to come in and try and make you think that you're not carrying God, you're not important enough. God says, you are separated, I chose you, you're mine, you're my son, you're my daughter, and I've invested everything the kingdom could invest into your life. And so let's go to Matthew 25, because I really want to use Matthew 25 to bring my point over to you, that we are in a season where we've got to be sure that we are anointed. So many people love the gifts. I love the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I love the gift of prophecy. I operate in the gift of prophecy. But many times in my own life, I've realized it's not the gift that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. God wants you to know that because you carry His anointing, that every yoke in your family, on your life, whatever it is where the enemy's trying to yoke you under pressure and condemnation, that because of the anointing in your life, you can smash the yoke of the enemy. And I'm going to show you something in this scripture. Let's go to Matthew 25, and I'm just going to read Matthew 25, and as I go along, I'll just expound on it. It says in verse 1, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." In verse 1, we see that they took their lamps. How many of you know that all of us in this room carry a lamp? All of us carry something. You open your mouth, you speak about the Lord, you're carrying the lamp of His word. We all recognize that you're carrying lamp, but how many of you know that when I bring my lamp into the room, you may not know how much oil is in the lamp because you can't see the oil. And so we've got to realize that the lamp is an outside, it's a physical form. I can see, I can sense that you love God. I can see you lift your hands. I can see you sing. I can see you do all the things in the natural realm. But how many of you know that we can't see what's in the lamp? You've got to recognize in your life, am I carrying the oil of joy? Am I carrying the oil, the anointing oil that's going to help me to overcome in my life? We've got to recognize the fact, if we have too little oil, we've got to recognize that. We've got to recognize the fact that sometimes we run out of oil. But the Bible says in Psalms 119 verse 105, it says, "Your word, Lord, is a lamp unto my feet." How many of you know that God's word is sufficient? But we've got to make sure that we actually represent God's word with such an anointing that His word works. I've heard many people quote the scripture, but there's no anointing to it. God's word is alive and full of power. But we've got to recognize the fact that we can quote scripture all day long without the anointing, without the oil of the Holy Ghost, and that word almost becomes a snare and it almost becomes a bashing tool in the wrong hands. When the word is spoken under the anointing, it should bring life, it should bring joy, it should bring breakthrough, it should bring deliverance to the hearers. Amen? And so, and I've realized also knowledge alone is not enough. I can talk about lamps all day long, but the knowledge that I have about the lamp is not sufficient because I need an anointing. I need an anointing to accompany knowledge. We need the oil of the Holy Spirit. And I think the world is waiting for this church, this beautiful bride, to arise in her anointing, to rise in the oil of joy, to be merciful, to be kind, to be gentle. You know, that's what I'm sensing. And as you keep on reading, it says, "Now five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." There was not sufficient oil, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And the next verse is such an important verse. This is the criteria. This is the focus. "And at midnight," in other words, there is a moment coming where we're going to have to stand before the Lord. There's a moment coming where you'll have to give an account of what you carried and what you said and how you said it and how you applied the anointing and whether you were a good steward of the anointing. I'm telling you, those days are coming. I believe that we're in these days where the world is watching and waiting for the church to bring hope. We've got to understand that we bring hope in every situation. Every nation that I go to, we are building and we are restoring and we are equipping. Why? Because we want nations to have the hope that only Christ can bring. And all of you in this room at the sound of my voice, you carry hope. You are actually a habitation of the Lord. You're a walking tabernacle. You carry the presence of God. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. It was, when I read that and I studied this, it was, Lord, I understand that the wise virgins could trim their lamps because they knew they had oil and they had extra oil. But Lord, the foolish virgins trimmed their lamps and there was almost no oil. Now, many times I think as Christians, we can get in the flesh and we can do all the stuff and make out like we're anointed and do all the stuff and we could get a little bit religious, but we have no oil in the lamp. And so, you know, when I was a young boy, I grew up in South Africa in a regional area. And in those days, we still had lamps. My mum and dad, we had, you know, we were children, four children, mum and dad, there's six of us. We lived in a nice little cottage type home, but we had lamps. And every now and then, it was an oil lamp. Every now and then, my dad would say to me, I want you to go and check if there's oil in the lamp. Make sure that the wicks were trimmed. Make sure that the wick wasn't brittle. And I remember we would go out there and we would make sure that the oil was in the lamp. But not only was the oil important, but it was the fact that the wick could be saturated by the oil. And I believe many times the wick speaks about our heart. Is your heart saturated by the Holy Spirit? Do you not just know how to do all the Christian stuff, or are you saturated? Is your heart softened by God? Are you led by the Holy Spirit, or are you just led by circumstances? Are you merciful? Are you kind? Are you gracious? Are you generous? Are you patient? Those are all attributes of a heart that is saturated by the Holy Spirit. See, we have so judged the world. The world doesn't need to be judged anymore. The world needs to be embraced. The world needs to be loved. We've got to show much more mercy than we have. I've seen it in Belgium as we started our church in Belgium, and somebody said to me, "Pastor David, Belgium is such a hot place. What are you doing in Belgium?" And you know what? We have trained the most amazing team in Belgium to go into the streets and to minister and evangelize. And it's amazing to see when you show love, when you show mercy because you're anointed, the oil in your life is saturated your heart and you can touch people that normally wouldn't listen to you. So I want to encourage you this morning, go and do some self-assessment. God, do I have oil? Do I have extra oil? Am I anointed? Is my prayer life healthy? Is my worship life healthy? Is my word life healthy? Those are all attributes. Every one of those things I've just mentioned would actually affect your life. If your worship is not healthy, your prayer life would not be healthy. Your word life is not healthy. If your word life is not healthy, nothing's healthy. And so we've got to start create a health back in the church. We've got to become healthy in these areas of our life. See, the oil wasn't just the most important aspect of the lamp. The wick was just as important. And I want to encourage you, we need to stop attempting to do God's kingdom without the oil of anointing. We've got to stop trying to do God's stuff. We've got to check our wick. We've got to make sure that our wicks aren't brittle. That my heart isn't dry. Let's go to Isaiah 61. You know, and as I was preparing this message, I started to think about Cornerstone and everything that you are as a church community is doing. And I really felt strongly that this word, Isaiah 61 verse 1, and as I read it, was actually something that God was releasing over you as a people, as a church, as a community. I believe that you as a community will affect the nation. God is going to use you to minister to the lives of people. And I really felt very strong that as I spoke this to you and myself, this is not just for you, but this is something that I need to speak over my own life. Isaiah 61 and verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Can I just change a little bit of the verse and says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon you." The Spirit of God is upon you because God has anointed you to preach good tidings to the poor. God's anointed you to heal the brokenhearted. I want you to start to grasp that with both hands and say, "God, I thank you that I am anointed. God, thank you that I do carry you. Thank you, Lord, that I carry your Spirit." It says to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. I want to tell you, this is the church's opportunity to shine well. We have got to shine well. We've got to shine bright like never before. I'm telling you, the church has to become the light of the world and the salt of the earth. But you've got to embrace the fact you are anointed. You've got to say that to yourself, speak it to yourself, because I meet so many people, not necessarily in Singapore, but as I travel around the globe, I meet so many Christians. They love Jesus, but they never see themselves as anointed. They don't see themselves as the vessel that God's called for such a time as this. And so what happens with that mindset, we'll sit on the sideline and we watch the game. God says, no, this is not the game. This morning, this is not the game. This is the halftime. We're actually in halftime right here, sitting in this building. This is the halftime, because when you leave this building today, you get back in the game. And you've got to realize that when you step back into the game, you're anointed. Amen? Come on, I've been watching the football. I was so hoping that Norway would win. I mean, they're still rowing. But I was like, yes, come on. But it's like they lacked the luster. They lacked something. And sometimes the church, we have all this amazing technology. We have the resources. We have the buildings. We have everything, you know, the beautiful cameras. We have everything happening, orchestras, whatever it is. But sometimes we lack the luster. You know what that means? We lack the anointing. You're anointed. You got to write that down. Say, you know, some of you have come this morning thinking, I want a prophetic word. That's a prophetic word. You're anointed. Amen. Come on, speak to your name and say, you're anointed. You're anointed to break the yoke. You're anointed to bring hope. You're anointed to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You're anointed to comfort all who mourn. You're anointed to console those who mourn in Zion. Come on, to give them beauty of ashes, the oil of joy for the mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. They have been called trees of righteousness. They planted of the Lord that he may be glorified. Listen to me. God gets the glory when you step up into your assignment with the anointing. God gets the glory. Amen. Come on, let's change the testimony that the world has of the church. Let's change the testimony. Let's change the news bulletins about the church where people start to say, you know, I know a church that's anointed. I know a church that brings healing. I know a church that brings life. I know a church that's full of joy. I know a church that has a heart and a passion for the lost. Amen. Come on, we've got to stir that up on the inside of us. And so Isaiah 61, when I started to read, I realized that the anointing empowers your assignment. I was just sharing earlier this morning, you know, in the last couple of months, I've traveled to over 7 nations. I cannot do what I do without the anointing. I cannot even step out into my assignment without the anointing. Because it's the anointing that carries. It's the anointing that refreshes you. People come to me all the time. You know, I'm not a youngster anymore and I'm not an old dude, but I'm getting there. I'm 65. And I'm going to tell you, I travel with 20-year-olds. They can't even keep up with me. And at the end of the day, it's not about me being physically fit. It's about me understanding God's power and anointing in my life. Amen. Come on. I've got around some young guys that are fitter, they can outrun me any day, but it's amazing, they don't carry the anointing, they don't understand the presence of God, and they frazzle out. You've got to start to ask the Lord, I need to be anointed in my marriage. I need to be anointed. My wife is a Messianic Jew, she's Jewish. I need to be anointed. I need a lot of anointing. And then I have a daughter. Some of you would relate. She's 28, I need to be anointed. I need to understand some things that are going in our life. I've got sons that are anointed. So what I'm saying to you today, don't look at somebody else in ministry and say, well, you know, they need to be anointed to teach me. No, you need to be anointed to discern what they're teaching. You need to carry the discernment. You need to carry the ability to understand what God is saying in this hour. You need an anointing to receive revelation. You need an anointing to understand the word of God. Amen. Otherwise, it'll just be logos to you. You need an anointing so that the word of God becomes rhema to you, revelation. All of us in this room need to be anointed in this season. And so, oil precedes mission. You know, when I drive my car, I make sure that there's oil in that engine. That there's oil, there's fuel, that vehicle has everything it needs to carry me to the next destination. And I'm telling you this morning, oil precedes your mission. And I believe it's time for us to check the oil. Check your lamp. Check your heart. Amen. Come on. I don't know how many of you sense that this year has gone so quickly. It's almost like every year, there's so much acceleration. It's like, I believe the end of the age is coming sooner than we think. And we've got to be people that actually understand the signs of the times. It says the sons of Issachar knew the signs of the time. And we've got to be anointed. Listen to me. We can have a lamp, we can have a relationship, or we can have knowledge about God without oil. We can actually come to church and not be anointed. We can actually build a structure, an organization without the anointing. You can have a title without the anointing. It won't mean a hill of beans. You've got to realize that in this hour, you will be recognized by your anointing and by the legacy you leave, not by the knowledge you have. Yes, the Bible says that people are destroyed by the lack of knowledge, but we've got to understand that we've got to allow the oil of God to saturate the knowledge we have about the kingdom of God, so that when we speak, there's an anointing attached to what comes out of our mouths. Amen. Come on. You can lay hands on somebody all day long, but unless you're anointed to heal the sick, you won't heal them. Amen. Come on. And I believe we're in this season. The church has tried to conduct itself without the oil. I see it everywhere. And we've lost our divine authorization. We've got to understand, God says, I'm giving you all authority. Matthew 28, it says, and Jesus said, I've been given all power and all authority. You go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them everything that I've taught. There is a transfer of anointing in that verse. God is commissioning the church. I don't know about you, but I feel that we are in the greatest time of evangelism on the earth right now. We've got to see more people get saved like never, never before. That's the mandate that's on the earth. We've got to see people saved. We've got to see people healed, restored. There's nothing more beautiful to see people come into the kingdom, receive Christ. There's nothing more beautiful to see a soul saved. Don't become tired of being soul winner. Don't become tired in doing good. Ask God even today, say, God, I need that anointing. Lord, anoint me to raise my son. Anoint me to raise my daughter. God, give me the discernment so that I will discern the gifts my kids carry. When I look around the room, and yesterday I was so blessed. I taught at a prophetic school that your church actually presents. It's run by an amazing couple. Jared and Dawn, just beautiful couple. And I came out of the building and there was just hundreds of young people that had been at a youth service. It was amazing to see. I'm thinking, God, this church understands how to raise up the next generation of leadership. Next gen leadership in this church has an amazing opportunity to do great exploits. Why? Because your leadership are involved and they're anointed to discern what you need. It was so beautiful to see. Amen. Come on. So be encouraged this morning. So when we go and look at the church, how many of you know that we need to be legislating in the spiritual realm? That we need to be really on top of things in the spiritual realm, not just the natural realm. We need to walk in authority in the natural realm, but we need to be legislating things in the spiritual realm. And if we don't have any understand, a broadwidth of what's happening or a bandwidth of what's happening spiritually, we lose our ability to discern because we're not anointed. Amen. I can tell you, I fly all over the world. When I'm flying into a nation, I sense what's in the spirit. I sense what's going on in the spirit. It's called an anointing to discern what's happening over a nation. You can't fly into a nation. I can't fly into Europe or Portugal or South Africa or Singapore, whatever it is. I can't just fly in there and say, oh, well, let's see what happens. I have to fly in really understanding, God, what are you doing in this nation? And I can tell you what God's doing in Singapore. God is raising up a standard. God's raising up the most amazing evangelistic movement you'll ever see. There's going to be a wave of revival in Singapore. Come on, give God a hand. Somebody. You're on the brink of one of the greatest moves of God. God is positioning you as a people to actually accommodate revival. I believe that this nation will become a revival hub for the region. I believe it with all of my heart. But it takes a people. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 10. And let's just go back to Isaiah chapter 10. And I want to read this to you. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27. And this is something that you can actually take for yourself. It says here in verse 27, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, on page 854. It shall come to pass in that day. Which day? What do you think is, what era do you think God is speaking about? I really believe he's speaking about this era, this moment in time. It says, it shall come to pass in this day, that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Come on, church. The oil has to break the yoke. Unless the oil is present, unless the anointing is present, you will not break the yoke of the enemy. I've learned that in my life, preaching in different areas where opposition would come in our ministry, resistance would come in our ministry, and I'd say, God, what is going on? And the Lord said, I want you to recognize the anointing you carry. Come into agreement with the anointing you carry. And when I've come into agreement with the anointing God's carried, he breaks the yoke of the devil. Amen. Come on. You've got to stop chasing the devil. Stop, listen to me. Stop, can I just say this? Stop screaming at the devil. I hear people pray and it's like you're in a full-scale word war with the devil. No, get into agreement with God's word. His word has already overcome the devil. Jesus destroyed the work of the enemy. Jesus is seated in heavenly places. His resurrection has become your resurrection. And get into agreement. Say, God, I know that I'm anointed to take this region. I'm anointed to speak life over my family. I'm anointed to speak life over my wife. I'm anointed to see breakthrough in my business. But God, I thank you that I recognize the anointing, and as I recognize the anointing, the yoke is broken over everything that the enemy has tried to destroy. That's your right. That's your inheritance. And so, Lord, I just thank you as we bring this to a close this morning. Lord, I thank you that we will be apostolic, that we'll be prophetic, that we'll allow the fivefold to rise up inside of us, God. I thank you, Lord, that we'll see the lampstand of our hearts filled with oil, according to Zechariah 4:6. Lord, I thank you that in this season, Lord, that you will show us how to move from a place of barrenness to a place of fertility. Lord, I thank you. Listen to me, saints, this morning. You don't get oil from proximity. You get it from a personal relationship. What does that mean? It means I can come here all day long, every week, and just be in the proximity of everybody. I won't get the anointing. I've got to ask for the anointing. So let me say this again. You don't get oil from proximity. You get oil from his presence. Amen. Open up your hearts this morning and say, Lord, I need the altar of my heart fully saturated by your anointing. I'd like that person that played keyboard this morning, if you can come. I'd like this morning to do something. I'd like the whole auditorium to stand right now. Just stand if you can. But this morning, I'd like you to watch. I'd like you to listen. I'd like you to come into that place of agreement with your heart. If your heart has just become just hard, you know, it's tired, it's dry, whatever it is, and you've just said, Lord, I hardly have any oil left. It's been a long season. Whatever it is, I want you to be bold enough to get out of your seat this morning and come down to the front and say, Apostle David, I need prayer. I need someone to lay hands on me. Lord, I need my lamp to be filled. I need my wick to be saturated. I need life. I need joy. I need mercy. Lord, I've been so busy in the vineyard that I've forgotten who I am. If that's you this morning, I want you to come out real quickly. The ushers will help you. People will help you. Just come right up here to the front and we're going to lay hands on you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to come into agreement that you carry the anointing. God wants to anoint you. God wants to bless you. Just give them, come right up here so I can just lay hands on them as I go and come. Just come. We'll just wait for people to come. God wants to refresh you. God wants to bless you. God wants to give you the desires of your heart. God wants to give you the desires of your heart. God wants to come into your life. Come on, you're anointed to do greater exploits. You're anointed to do greater exploits. Father God, this morning, we thank you for these precious people. Just take one step, just a half a step forward. These people, yeah, just a half a step forward. Just come forward, just a half a step. Just a half a step forward, come. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we just thank you. Just a half a step. Father God, we just thank you. We praise you. We worship you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace, Father. We thank you. Supernatural, supernatural grace, supernatural favor on your life. Come on. Lord, we just thank you for their hearts, Lord, that are open. God, minister to them by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Come on, just one touch from heaven can change your entire life. Thank you, Jesus, for faith this morning. Thank you, Lord, for joy. Thank you for the oil of joy. Thank you for healing and restoration. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oil, new oil, fresh oil. Double do you. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Restoration. What is your name? Restoration. Peace, joy. Father God, we just thank you. What's your name? Lord, I just pray, please lay hands on your tummy right there. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the oil of joy, for peace to rise up in her, God, that she'll have the anointing to break the yoke, to see your kingdom come in every area of her life, in the name of Jesus. Jesus, bless her, minister to her. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. More than enough. More than enough. More than enough. Thank you, Jesus. Overflow, overflow. God, she's been faithful in the little. God, make her ruler over much. Bless her, God. Minister to her by your Spirit, Lord. Bless them. Bless them, Lord. Minister to them in Jesus' name. Anoint them. Anoint their lips. Anoint them, God. Bless them. Jesus, bless them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Let's just keep on praying. Pastors, why don't you come up and just start to pray with the rest of these people. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.